Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Piffles Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Amy.
And we have a very exciting episode of the Piffles Podcast coming to you this week. Of course, give us a follow on Twitter at Piffles Pod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamod.
And I am at RealAmyD.
Give Greg a follow as well at Greg on Sports. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it tonight. And I feel kind of bad because he's going to miss the interview that we asked for last year. We didn't get it, understandably so, with all the media that that he did and didn't do. We have Darian Durant on the show tonight.
I'm not going to lie. This is one I've been looking forward to for since we started this show. And now it's happening. Now it's here.
And I wore my Darian Durant jersey tonight. So I'm excited for this. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk to him about his decision to retire, his career in Saskatchewan. And we'll see if he has much to say about that signing bonus. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Give us a like on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. And check out the website, PifflesPodcast.com. Right off the top there, that was Beauty Killed the Beast. That was their song, Make a Sound. Thanks, guys, for that song. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive in Regina. Come check out their half-price drink menu during happy hour from 2 to 5 p.m. and also their summer blizzard menu. And Steve, I saw you had ice cream when you came in. So
no, I didn't have ice cream. My kids had ice cream. I had
supper.
I saw
you eating.
I had chicken fingers. It was delicious.
And you didn't get ice cream.
I got the coupon to go for later.
Okay.
You didn't even get one lick of ice cream from your kids?
Are you kidding? They would kill me. You don't steal ice cream from your children. Yeah, I do.
You do.
I would steal ice cream from your kids.
maybe not the littlest one, but.
She'd probably be the easiest. She's probably the slowest.
She'd probably let it happen.
Coming up on the show this week, opening kickoff, we're going to talk about Darian Durant's decision to retire and the latest Rider news. Our interview with Darian Durant. I'm excited. That's basically what we're here for. I have a little bit of a rant. We'll have Would You Rather. And we're going to continue our team previews. We're going to take a look at one team from the West, one team from the East, and it's going to be like a rematch of the Grey Cup. We're going to look at the Calgary Stampeders and Toronto Argonauts. So let's get started. Time now for the opening kickoff. All right. Darian Durant, retiring.
I'm sorry. Every time I hear this, I think of Greg. No, I don't laugh. I think it's great. I just think of Greg laughing and it makes me laugh.
Why is it so funny?
Greg laughs every time I play that.
We don't know why.
Okay.
Just something that happens.
There's 6 seconds of audio gold right there. I don't know why he laughs.
All right.
that right there is why you went to school. That is it. That is perfect.
Yeah. Spent all that money to learn how to do that. Darian Durant retiring. Sticking it to the Bombers one last time. On purpose? Not on purpose. The big thing that got everybody upset, obviously, was Darian Durant took his $70,000 signing bonus. And we'll talk about that word, signing bonus, in just a minute. But he basically took $70,000 and ran home. At least that's what everybody else is saying. That's what Bomber fans are saying. Everybody else doesn't seem to have a problem with it. So first question to you guys, his retirement, doing it on social media. Apparently him and his agent tried to reach out to Kyle Walters, GM of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. They said that they didn't get anything from Darian Durant and his camp. But then out of nowhere, they found out that he retired via social media. Is that an appropriate thing?
Well, I think if the story came out that he did try and reach out to them and there was no response, yeah, I have no issues with it. You know, if that was how he retired, there was no other contact, no other plan. It was just, I'm out. Not a big fan of retiring on social media, especially a new player, 70K signing bonus. Should probably let the team know, but I feel like he did. We have no reason not to believe him.
It depends whose story is true. If what the Bombers say is true, then...
Well, there's always three sides to a story, right?
Yeah, their side, his side, and the truth.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. So if it's the Bombers that are telling the truth, I say in air quotes, then dick move, buddy. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And if he's telling the truth, then, I mean, hey, Bombers, maybe answer your phone.
You know what? We'll ask him that when he comes on the show here in just a little bit. Okay, so Durant goes, takes a $70,000 bonus, and that's the big thing that people are upset about. It's not about actually retiring because he was brought in to be the backup quarterback, but taking this bonus, and a lot of Bomber fans, and there's other fans as well, that think he should give it back and it shouldn't count against the Bomber salary cap.
Why, though?
Because they're stupid.
That's the morally correct thing to do.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not supposed to do that anymore.
But there's no such thing as morals and ethics in pro sports anymore. It's all a, it's a business. It's all about money, and that's for the team, and that's for the players as well. So I know when Derek Dennis went from being a free agent in Calgary and coming here, even if he did it, you know what? Better example. When Henry Burris left here to Calgary for more money, I will never fault a person for that. I will never, ever fault a person for taking money, because ultimately that's what you're there to do, is get money. It sounds selfish, but that's what it's all about. Darian Durant has to look out for number one, and that's him and his family, and he has a newborn girl. So $70,000 into a trust fund or into a college fund, that doesn't sound too bad for, you know, not really doing anything other than signing your John Henry.
That's like a semester of college down south.
Pretty much.
I'd like to talk to somebody who, honest to God, would give the money back.
I wouldn't.
And like, I would give them a handshake, because they are a much better person than I am. I would keep that money, and I would...
You know, to me, it comes down to two possible things here. Did he go into that contract knowing full well, like Mo Price, that he was going to retire?
Yeah.
If yes, shady as hell. But even then, you signed a 35-year-old quarterback and gave him a $70,000 signing bonus when he had no other option.
To be a backup.
In the hopes that you would never see him play.
And I get it. Edmonton did the same with Kevin Glenn. And I don't understand it. These are guys, like, we're not talking about up-and-comers. These are guys on the highlight or twilight of their careers.
The Bombers had all the leverage in the negotiations. Nobody else was going to take Darian Durant.
And so you give him $70,000 and the option to walk away. Or he can work for 8 months for another $80,000 and be away from his wife and newborn.
I'd take the $70,000 and
at that point, you'd be crazy not to.
Well, and Darian came out on the weekend also and said that he rehabbed in the off season, trying to get his body right, and went through his normal off season program, and his body didn't react properly to it. And he didn't think that he was going to be ready to go.
And to me, that's the big difference between what we saw with Mo Price and what we're seeing with Durant. Was, I feel like when he signed his contract, he had full intentions of sticking it out another year.
I truly believe that.
And part of me wonders, and we might even ask him this, is did he sign with Winnipeg as one last kind of, you know, thumbing of the nose? Or no, what's that term? Kind of middle finger to Chris Jones saying, I've still got it. You know, and then realized
I don't believe
that. It's very hard for a professional athlete to admit to themselves, let alone to the world, that they don't have it anymore.
I give him full props for doing it. He knew he couldn't handle a full season.
If that was the case, absolutely, because you never see that, and good for you for being honest.
And we're talking about a guy who's had some pretty serious injury issues over the last couple of seasons. You know, his Achilles, his shoulder.
Yeah. Like, why in Winnipeg's right mind would they say, why would they give him just $70,000 clear and free? Just to be a backup.
I mean, that's just the way.
Nothing, that doesn't compute in my brain.
They negotiated that with Durant and his agent, and I mean.
Good on him for getting that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Every part of my brain that has any knowledge of business and how to make money in a business says that's dumb.
When my understanding of signing bonuses and why teams do them is it gives them the opportunity to sign a player at a lower overall salary. Because of the way tax works, bonuses are taxed substantially less. So you can give a guy $150,000 with 70 of it in a signing bonus, and he'll get the same amount as if you give him $180,000, $190,000. So they save that $30,000 to $40,000, you know, off the cap at the end of the season, by taking a risk. I just don't see why they did it this time. It makes no sense to me.
I don't know why you would do that with a backup quarterback.
Well, I don't know where Darian Durant would have signed other than Winnipeg. Everybody kind of knew, oh, he's going to go to Winnipeg because they don't have a backup. They're the only team that really needs one. And that was when Matt Nichols was still scheduled to hit free agency. So they're like, well, what's the best option? Darian Durant is.
Yeah, it was Kevin Glenn or Darian Durant. Those were the two names and the two spots. And the moment Kevin Glenn signed at Edmonton, I just don't get it. What I love is the response from, you know, Bomber Nation.
Oh,
and
wow.
How it's
It's saying it's a conspiracy.
Right? Like, and suddenly it happens to us and it's hilarious. It happens to them and it's garbage and Durant is low class.
From a classless organization in Saskatchewan, which he wasn't with the last year, but whatever.
I can't wait, and I'm going to bring it up. Before we get into any real questions, I'm asking about this conspiracy because I want to put it to bed.
Do people really think, though, that we would have our star quarterback hurt in 2014 when we were 8-2, coming off a Grey Cup win, looking very, very good with a solid defense, and that defense almost won us that semifinal in 2014, and that was with Kerry Joseph's five interceptions. So you have your starting quarterback who's still healthy. We easily win that game. We probably go in and beat Calgary as well. No doubt in my mind. We probably finish first, actually, and have that West final at home. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. So you think that we're going to have that guy hurt. Then he gets hurt again in 2015, very first game, a freak injury with the torn Achilles, also against the Bombers, which his 2014 injury was. Have him come back for 2016, play okay. He didn't play bad. The team around him was pretty poor in 2016, I think we can all admit. Towards the end of the year, obviously, they got a little bit better, and we saw what was, you know, the vision of Chris Jones. And then not sign a contract with the Riders just to get traded to Montreal, then get cut and go to Winnipeg and then screw them over?
All for $70,000.
Really? People think that that's a thing that was planned out?
It's not necessarily...
And it was the Riders that Chris Jones planned it?
It's not necessarily that they believe that Chris Jones was behind this from the start. What they seem to think is that Darian Durant learned this, and this is how you handle business, from Chris Jones and the Rider organization because he was here so long. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Darian about this and kind of find out from him. Want to get on to one other bit of Rider news here. The only other news that we've gotten this past week for the Riders is... defensive lineman, linebacker, Gary Wilkins, who was the star of the 2017 minicamp before he got hurt, signed with the team. So he'll be at main training camp, which gets underway in like 4 days.
Football is here.
Sunday. Training camp.
This is the last episode where we don't have to...
speculate.
Like, right?
We know. There'll be actual facts out. Oh. Isn't it great? Like I said in my article today, it's like Christmas.
Steve is vibrating yeah. in this his is like Christmas. Chair, by the way.
A month from today, we are at home.
Yeah.
For the home opener.
Yep.
For the regular season.
Against the Grey Cup champion Toronto Argonauts.
One month from today, June 15th. June 15th. I guess 1 month from yesterday when you listen to this.
But, Gary Wilkins coming into camp. He's going to be looked at kind of in that defensive end linebacker hybrid role. So he could play outside linebacker, I guess would be what we'd call him in the NFL, but he could probably play defensive end and might be a good rotational player that we see make the roster. And
if the stories on a mini camp from last year are even remotely true, we really need another massive threat on defense. This is fantastic.
Another defensive lineman?
Oh, this is great. Remember 2 years ago when we didn't have any?
I remember last year when I was still complaining about the three-man rush.
Yeah, now I feel like the three-man rush will be great.
As long as it's Nick James in the middle there plugging it up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what he does at camp this year.
This is a recording, us talking all lovey-dovey about the defensive line, but that's the strength of this team is that defensive line, and they're going to cause havoc and wreck a lot of games, and I cannot wait for that.
It's going to be fantastic.
There was the opening kickoff brought to you by Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. Before we bring on Darian Durant, I do have to get a little rant off my chest.
Let's get ready to rumble!
So my little rant here is going to be the difference between a signing bonus and a roster/playing bonus. And this goes back to what Darian Durant got. He got a signing bonus, which basically means we're going to give you X amount of money for signing your name. You don't have to do anything else. And that is why he does not have to give any money back, and nor should he. They gave him $70,000. The Bombers wrote that in the contract, basically saying, we will give you $70,000 to sign your name at the bottom. Okay. And that's what he did. Now, if it were, say, a roster bonus, if you're on the roster on July 1st, you get $70,000. I can see why he would get cut right before that date, which we see happen all the time. Think Weston Dressler, think John Chick. That's why Chris Jones cut them. They were due a massive bonus, and they got cut the day before. We see that happen with every other team. They cut players right before. Nobody says anything. Oh, it's just business. Well, so was this one. This was all about business, the business of Darian Durant, and he made out. He won. And if it were a playing bonus, whether it's play time, you play X amount of snaps, a percentage, then that'd be different as well. If you threw for X amount of yards, if you played how many games, it doesn't matter. Threw 20 touchdowns, you get a $30,000 bonus. You don't get it? Well, you don't get the bonus. No big deal. That's written in the contract and the player agreed to it. But this was a signing bonus. Therefore, he didn't have to give anything up. And I guess to finish that off in a rant is, know the difference, guys. Signing bonus versus playing bonus versus roster bonus. Like, and that's a rant towards the Bomber fans that are just losing their collective minds, which boggles me because their hockey team is on the verge of going to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time ever. Go Atlanta Thrashers. Why are they, like, is this just a team that is so upset that they haven't done anything in the last 28 years now that this is what they're going to, you know, die on the hill for? Is a $70,000 bonus?
Your two comments that you made right there, both comments that made me laugh because Durant brought them up when he was snapping back at Bombers fans, which was fantastic, by the way.
Oh, I loved it. Loved it. We're going to talk to him about that too.
But he came out, he's like, shouldn't you guys be happy? Winnipeg won last night, was one of them. And the other one was commenting on they haven't done anything in 27 years and they ain't going to do anything this year. And like, dude.
Oh, so good. That Durant is my favorite Durant.
We're going to ask him what it's like to be a player on Twitter with the shackles off.
I couldn't imagine their timeline, their notifications, just the amount of crap that they put up with. Oh,
do,
man.
Do you remember the Zuck Off guy?
That was amazing. That was my favorite Darian Durant, and it motivated him, and it propelled us to win the 2013 Grey Cup because he had that massive chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
Sometimes players need that.
And you can always tell he's been that guy that needs that little bit of a push. And, oh, I wish he could have had one more year here with no social media rules, just to see what happens, just to watch this Durant go off.
Well, hopefully we see more of that in the future. And I mean, he doesn't have to worry about a team slapping his hand and saying, hey, okay, you know what? We might have to implement a social media policy and, you know, fine you or something, but.
Just his wife now.
And right now, I don't think she cares because he just brought her home a check for $70,000. So, well, you know what? That's enough about us talking about it. Let's bring on the man himself. Joining us on the line is, to me, Rider legend, one of the greatest players to ever put on a green and white jersey, Mr. Darian Durant. Mr. Durant, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, man, thanks for having me.
So, first question here first. Obviously, you announced your retirement on Friday. Take us through what your process of deciding to retire was. Like, how did that all come about?
Well, back when I signed in January, I was 100% committed. You know, there was no doubt in my mind I still wanted to play. Just had my firstborn daughter at the time. So, you know, I was just ready to play ball. So just as time went on, I went down to Atlanta to train, and it was really my first amount of significant time away from my family. So, well, during that time, just was missing my family. Found out as well that my wife wouldn't be able to make it down to Winnipeg as much during the season, so I was going to be away from my family a lot more than I, you know, previously thought I would. So, you know, and so just taking that into consideration, my body wasn't really responding the way I wanted it to during training. So, you know, I just felt like it was time to put family first and take care of my body and make sure I was able to, you know, be there for my kids growing up. And, you know, that became my number one priority. So I just went ahead and made the decision.
Now, there's something that we kind of want to put to bed here. We've heard a lot of chirps from the province to the east. And one of the biggest ones, and we find it kind of funny, is that this whole signing bonus and everything associated with it was a conspiracy started with your time in Saskatchewan, and this was all planned out. Can you tell us what kind of, like, you've seen some of these crazy thoughts that people have put forward,
but
can you just tell us your thoughts on the idea of a conspiracy theory about this?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I've always treated the game with respect. Treated everyone with respect. I feel even when I felt like I was done wrong at times, I've always felt like I've been a professional, guy. And I would never just sign on to a situation knowing that I'm done. Like I said, back in January, my 100% intention was to play football, and things change over time. Over time, you find that your priorities change, and that's exactly what happened for me. So to hear that it was premeditated and all that's just totally bogus. The fans in the province of the East, I think they complain a lot anyway. So they were just trying to find something wrong with the situation.
No, obviously they're upset because you got that $70,000 signing bonus. Now, yeah. So you said that you deserve the signing bonus, and I absolutely agree because it's a signing bonus. It's not a playing bonus. It's not a roster bonus. It's to sign your name on the contract, correct?
Yep.
So
I agree. And not only that, I just think that, what people don't realize is that even during the offseason, we're still going 100 miles per hour every day, training our bodies, getting right, getting ready for the season. We risk injury every single day. I think I saw today where Winnipeg released a receiver that broke his foot during training. I mean, while he was training this offseason. And, we still deserve to get paid for the work we put in during the offseason. And, signing bonuses are a part of that. So not only do you get paid to sign, you get paid to work out. You get paid to get yourself prepared for the season. I did all of that, so I felt like I did what I needed to do to deserve that.
Now, actually, throughout the years, you also took a lot of pay cuts and deferred money to the future to help the team around you, especially in the salary cap world. Was this also, in a sense, a way to kind of recoup some of those lost wages?
I guess you can say that in hindsight, but that wasn't a priority going into the situation. I mean, of course, this is definitely a performance-based business, and if you don't perform up to par, then, sometimes your salary gets a hit taken along with it. But no way whatsoever was it just to recoup, what I've lost in the past. It just so happened that, I received a signing bonus. I decided to retire, and I guess you can incorporate those things with one another, but it wasn't in the plans whatsoever.
Now, I think we've spent long enough talking about your short time in Winnipeg. we really want to take a look at your time here in Saskatchewan. One of our listeners, actually several of them, have asked a very similar question. Other than winning the Grey Cup in 2013, what do you feel was your best moment in green and white? Or was it the Grey Cup as well?
I would have to say that BC game, that semifinal game leading up to the Grey Cup. I think that, with us being down early that game and, me kind of taking it upon myself to not force the ball downfield, use my legs, make things happen that way, and just kind of taking that game over in the fourth quarter, that was a huge game for me. So that would be a number two when it comes to most memorable moments.
And we had a question from somebody here as well, and it also kind of relates to being at Taylor Field, playing in that last game there. Was there anything from that stadium that you made sure that you took with you, or is there something that you would want to have from that stadium?
Well, I think, the most important person to me in my life is my daughter. Her middle name is Taylor. Her name is Amaya Taylor. So I have nothing physically, but, having my daughter with me at all times, that means that stadium will be with me for the rest of my life and for her life as well. So, that was always a special place for me. It was home for me for 11 years. So, like I said, nothing physically, but Taylor will always stay with me.
So that 2016 season, obviously a tough season here in Saskatchewan, but that final game, Taylor Field, is there something that you're like, do you take a lot of pride in knowing that you were the quarterback in that final game against BC? Obviously, it didn't turn out the way that we all would have hoped. But was that something that you can say, you know what, I take pride in, and that was, I was the guy that helped close that stadium?
Oh, for sure, for sure. I mean, you're talking about over 100 years of history in one stadium, and to be able to close it down, so many memorable moments that have happened in that place. So it definitely means a lot. I was even in town when it got torn down, so it was just a special place, and it'll always hold a special place in my heart.
Now, you played a lot of years with the same guys like Weston Tressler, Rob Bagg. How important was it for you to play a lot of those years with guys who end up becoming really good friends?
It's. I think that a lot of people underestimate the friendships and the close bonds that you make with your teammates. And, being able to play with the same group of guys for so long, it's a great feeling. I mean, like you said, not only were they great teammates, but, you take lifelong friendships along with it. So, and I think that's the key to winning. Chemistry, continuity, making sure that you can have a system in place and coaches and players in place that you can build chemistry with. That's what creates success. And, having that same group of guys together, that's why we had the type of success that we did.
Now, we had a couple of questions regarding your future here. I know you mentioned that you you had plans to start up a foundation here in Saskatchewan. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, first of all, tell us a little bit about that. And then do you see yourself getting into the coaching aspect of football kind of now that your career as a player is done?
First and foremost, I don't want to make any announcements about the foundation. It's, in the final stages of, everything. So I just want to hold tight on that. I will make a formal announcement about the foundation later on. So. Saskatchewan is just a special place, and I don't know if I'll coach, but I definitely want to be involved with football one day, hopefully in Saskatchewan. But if not, I think football has a special place in my heart, and it's definitely something I want to do going forward. I just don't know if it'll be coaching, but right now it's just all about the fam, being with my family each and every day, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Now, this might be one of the questions that you might want to brush off here, but I did get a couple people say this that they wouldn't mind hearing. I know it's easy to say maybe in hindsight, but do you regret not accepting the Riders 2017 offer?
honestly, I've thought about that a couple times, but it's in hindsight, of course. When you look back and you see how your career ended, you go to a new team, a new locker room, and you don't have a lot of success. You don't know the guys around you that well. So in looking back in that aspect, of course you say, man, I wish I would have just taken the pay cut and stayed. But at the same time, if another job or another team wants to, take care of you financially, and it's a significant upgrade from what you were offered, then you have to take care of your family at the same time. So in hindsight, I would have loved to stay in Saskatchewan, but at the same time, I had to make a business decision for myself and, my newborn.
Now, obviously, 2017, a very tough year for you in Montreal. Two-part question here. One, that very first game against the Riders, that season opener, obviously, going into the game, it was Durant versus the Riders, and that was the only storyline. And a football game is never one player versus a team. It's a team versus a team. But how important was it to, especially to beat them in that first game? But, we'll just kind of go with that. How important was it to you to beat the Riders in that first game?
I think whenever when you have a coach or a GM tell you that you're over the hill and, he doesn't think that you can, be the guy to lead their team, you feel like you have something to prove. So it was the only thing that mattered to me that game was to win. It didn't matter how we got it done. I just wanted to win, just to prove to the organization that I could still play and that they made a mistake by letting me go. So it was big, and you know, it was a great feeling at the time for sure.
Now, one of our listeners did ask, what was your favorite thing outside of the fans and the team, but what was your favorite thing about Regina, Saskatchewan, or Canada as a whole?
Man, just tranquility, really. Just the quietness of Saskatchewan. Just, you know, you can just be yourself. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, the traffic of big cities. You know, you can go anywhere at any given time of the day. You know, I'm a country boy from South Carolina, so I like the small city vibe. Saskatchewan gave me that. I felt right at home. And, you know, that's one of the main things I loved about it.
Now, being in the CFL, you were here for 12 years or so. Where was your favorite place outside of Saskatchewan to play?
Wow. I would say Winnipeg. You know, those they have great fans there, to be honest. It was always a hectic environment, very loud for sure. You know, and being in Saskatchewan for so long, that was pretty much the only stadium where you could kind of get a vibe that, you know, resembled anything close to what it's like for visitors at Taylor Field. So Winnipeg was definitely an energetic environment. The fans were always loud and cheered the team on. So I always had fun in that building.
Now, you mentioned the fans in Winnipeg, and we've seen you going back and forth with some over the last couple of days. And we saw it in 2013 when I can't remember the gentleman's name, who I use the term gentleman lightly, who kind of got on you for not running the ball way back when.
Yeah.
What's it like post-career when you don't have to worry about the CFL social media policy, you don't have to worry about the teams coming and slapping your hands for saying the wrong things, kind of having those Twitter shackles off and being able to say, you know, speak your mind completely?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good feeling, honestly. I mean, for so long, I would say for 10 years, you just sit back and you take everything that people dish out. And I think a lot of people don't realize that we're human as well, that we have emotions as well. You know, and like you said, when you're a player, you don't want to put yourself in a bad situation. You don't want to get fined. You don't want to, you know, get slapped by the league for any, you know, reason at all. So just to be able to vent and just let go some built up frustration for 10 plus years. I mean, of course, some things that came out, they were out of character for sure. But at the same time, you know, I don't regret anything because, you know, people get to say whatever they want to athletes, and we're supposed to just take the high road all the time and not say anything and not be able to defend ourselves. And, you know, I felt like that was a perfect opportunity for one, to just defend myself, you know, from the fact that they said that I didn't let them know that I was retiring. I thought that was bogus. So I just wanted to defend myself in that aspect, and two, just, you know, defend myself and let them know that this wasn't premeditated. I mean, my intentions were to play. Things didn't work out. And that's how the game goes sometimes. So I had to let the fans know that guys in my position, we get cut all the time before bonuses. You know, we get cut. You see so many guys come to camp and get cut with contracts that they sign with teams, and they get nothing out of it. So, you know, if the roles are reversed, we're all human. And, you know, if the roles are reversed, you have to do what's best for your family.
Now, that actually leads into my next question here as well, and it does have to do with Twitter and just being a professional athlete and your brother obviously being an NFL player as well. How hard is it as an athlete to have a social media, and just what kind of crap do you guys actually like put up with all your notifications? Do you ever have to, like, do you turn your notifications off too, or do you actually like sit there and read that stuff sometimes?
I don't read them all, but I don't turn my notifications off, no. Yeah, and I don't mind going through some of them because sometimes you get messages from important people and people that really mean a lot to you. So you don't want to miss those, but it's tough. I mean, I think fans and people on the outside, they look at us a little bit differently than they will look at the normal person. And, you know, it could get ruthless as well, from racial comments to, you know, comments about your family, your mother, your wife, your kids. I mean, you name it. Of course, there's, you know, trolls and they're professionals at trying to get under players' skins. But, you know, it's not easy, especially if, you know, you're sensitive to certain subjects in your life. It's not easy to sit there and let people, you know, just say what they want to you. So sometimes, I mean, not just myself, but you see athletes lashing out sometimes. And it's just because, you know, you get tired of just taking and not being able to say anything. And then when you reach your limit, you just let loose. And, you know, it just happens sometimes.
Hey, you know what? We can't blame you for that. Some of the stuff that you guys put up with, I don't know how you guys do it, but kudos to I guess, blocking it out and yeah, biting the tongue. So that's a lot more restraint than I would have.
Yeah, man, it's not easy.
I do have one more question here from a fan before we just kind of wrap things up here. There was a game against Calgary. You were running out of bounds. This was when you were at the Riders, and you saw Dwight Anderson running up on the sidelines trying to take you out, push you out of bounds. You decided to stay in bounds, and you lowered the shoulder and just lit him up. he asks, was this a retaliatory hit for Dwight's abuse on Weston Dressler? And did you have words with Dwight at the time or any time afterwards regarding that hit?
It was all for my boy Weston, man. You know, we've had some epic battles with Calgary over the days. And, you know, even in the newspapers, those guys were kind of, you know, saying some disrespectful things about us and, you know, our receivers, and saying how we didn't have a lot of talent. And, you know, even on the field, you know, they were twisting Weston's ankle under piles or, you know, just playing dirty. So, you know, I'm a guy, even though I play quarterback, I have my guys back at all time. And, you know, I saw that as an opportunity to, you know, take out a little bit of frustration on a guy that has been, you know, messing with my number one target. So I looked at it as an opportunity to put my head down and get physical with him and, you know, make a statement. And I took advantage of it, and I'm glad I did that, because after that, you know, he stopped all that mess. And eventually we became great teammates and great friends. So it's crazy how that works out in the world of football. But at the time, I didn't like him at all, and I wanted to make him pay for everything that he's done to my receivers.
Now, one question we did ask, and it's probably the most important question we got all day, is Oreo cheesecake still your go-to for Blizzard?
It is. It is, for sure. And I know I got that from my good friends up there at DQ right across from the stadium. So I'm looking forward to getting back in town and stopping by there and saying hello. That was always my go-to spot once a week.
And last one for you here, Darian. When are you coming back to Saskatchewan?
I'm getting some things ironed out now. There are a couple speaking opportunities that I have that have come about since I announced my retirement. So I'm looking into that, planning it out. But I definitely am going to make an appearance for Labor Day. I have that marked down on my calendar for sure. So if the speaking engagements don't work out, Labor Day will... I will be there for sure, so I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I look forward to that as well. There's going to be a few thousand Bomber fans there that are they'll probably have some choice words for you, but that'll be par for the course, right?
Yeah, man, looking forward to it. It's going to be a great weekend.
Well, thank you so much for your time tonight, and also for absolutely everything you've done for the Riders franchise, for the CFL, and honestly, I can tell you right now, I'm sitting here wearing a Darian Durant jersey. And,
oh, wow. Thank you.
Everything you've done, you're one of four quarterbacks that won a Grey Cup here in Saskatchewan. And right now I put out an article that I posted today that you're in my Mount Rushmore of Rider players. So thank you for everything you've done for this franchise and for this league.
Oh man. Thank you. Thank you for your tremendous support over the years. And I really appreciate it. And if I am in town, I'll make sure to, you know, get up with you and we can get something done for sure.
I look forward to that. Thank you so much, Mr. Durant.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So there was Darian Durant here on the Piffles podcast talking about his retirement and his, you know, his best Saskatchewan Rough Rider memories and what he's going to do in the future. Let's move on here. A little bit of fun stuff to get to. Let's do Would You Rather. Amy, you have a question for us this week.
One question. It was hard to pick out of the three that I wrote down. Okay. Would you rather change gender every time you sneeze or not be able to tell the difference between a muffin and a baby?
What? So, like, you would pick up a baby and just start eating it because you think it's a muffin?
I don't know.
What part of the internet have you found?
She finds the weirdest things on the internet. Well, I'm taking the lesser of two evils, I guess. Not that either of them are evil.
Well, eating babies is pretty evil. That,
and I guess, like, breastfeeding muffins.
Yeah, I'm going with the
sneezing.
One.
Yep. Yeah.
You'd rather change gender every time you sneezed?
Yeah, absolutely. Every single time.
If it's between that and eating a child, yes. That is not a
but
tough...
it's not, like, you can't just make yourself sneeze. It's just every time you naturally sneeze. So you could be a girl for, like, 7 weeks.
That's fine.
And then a boy for 2 days.
Still sounds much better.
That sounds better than like...
The muffin baby thing, that's just weird.
Dunking a baby's head in milk and taking a bite. Is that what people do with muffins? Putting butter over it?
Put it in the microwave, warm it up.
No, that one's a little twisted. Spreading butter on a baby.
She's the one telling us it's twisted.
What?
You're the one that comes up with this question.
I didn't come up with the question. I
you
just
still
wrote
brought
it down.
To the, you still brought it to the table.
Do you want to know what my other one was?
Kind of.
Would you rather only be able to whisper or only be able to shout?
Shout.
Whisper.
Really?
Sure, why not?
Because you'd only be able to sound like this all the time.
That's fine.
This is how you would be talking all the time.
That's okay.
And then Steve would be over here like this.
Sounds about normal to me. I have a pathological need to be heard, so whispering is not an option for me.
I'd rather whisper. Your voice lasts longer. You just shout all the time.
Things would
you're
be a
wreck
lot more
throat.
Exciting and people might listen to you more.
Mm. No, they'd probably rather me be quiet, for being honest.
I'd rather shout.
That's what they should bring back for the third quarter stretch. Okay, moving on here. We have our team previews to get to. Like I said, it's going to be like a rematch of the Grey Cup. We have the Calgary Stampeders and Toronto Argonauts to talk about tonight. Where should we start, Steve?
Let's start with the perennial losers in Calgary.
All right. Well, we'll talk about what they signed first before we talk about what they lost, because that list is a lot longer.
Did they sign a signing bonus too?
Oh, probably.
Yeah, I'm not really sure S.A. Marabare would have gotten a $70,000 bonus, but hey, if he did, good for him. S.A. Marabare, that's basically pretty much all that Calgary brought in from other teams this year.
Well, that's not true. They brought in Adam Berger.
Berger. But this is also a team that is never, ever big in free agency. They are so good at just developing their own talent and scouting. You can talk about the Ryder Scouts all you want and how many they have. Calgary has the best ones.
I think we say it every year. This is the year Calgary finally topples. This is the year they start their fall. And looking at their free agent losses versus their signings, I honestly believe this is the year we finally see the tumble that 8 fan bases have been waiting for.
I don't think this is a free fall down into last place in the West.
Oh, no.
I think it's a trip down to third.
I think they definitely hit the road for the playoffs for the first time since, what, Kennedy? Feels like.
Yeah, pretty much. So they lost Joe Burnett, Tommy Campbell, Rob Cote, Michael Claussen, Jerome Messam, Shaq Richardson. Those are just the big names that they lost.
To me, the biggest one, without a doubt, is Tommy Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard spot to fill. He was the standout player in their defensive back unit, and he's gone. I mean, that's a hard guy to replace. And you said it best. We've seen them do it time and again. They lost, why can't I remember the name of the receiver 2 years ago, and we thought they were falling down because he went to the NFL.
Jeff Fuller.
Yeah, and just every year, that big free agent that they lose, whether it's to the NFL or to another CFL team, just gets replaced like that.
It was Eric Rogers, you probably think it.
Yeah, not Eric Fuller, Rogers, because he got hurt afterwards.
Yep.
And it just, they replace him like it's nothing.
It's insane how good they are.
But the fall has to happen, doesn't it? I mean,
man, I hope so. We've been waiting so damn long for that fall to happen.
They've been the cream of the CFL regular season for feels like over a decade.
They've been, since basically 06.
Sooner or later, they have to crap the bed and have a bad year. And I would never wish a bad year on a franchise that isn't Winnipeg.
I wish it on Calgary and Edmonton and Winnipeg and BC every single year.
Yeah, that's true. I'm lying through my teeth.
I hope they all suck. Obviously, all of them, they'd be average if they all sucked, I guess. But I would prefer that they all finish like 9-9. Unless Calgary finished 0-18, and that's just the best case scenario. But this is finally the year. I truly believe that we see them really stumble. Not a lot. Like I said, I still think they finish in third. They're still a playoff team. They're still a very good team.
And they've still got Bo Levi Mitchell at quarterback. And he's going
to
have
a
bounce back year after the end of his season. I think the rehab on his shoulder, if he did it, will be...
There's a guy who should go back on Twitter.
Oh, I want to see more from him and Duron.
Oh,
just all
man.
Season long, just back and forth, back and forth.
You know, Chris Jones said that Duron Carter is going to play both offense and defense again this year. I hope that Duron Carter is that sixth defensive back or that fifth, that starter when we play Calgary. Just to, maybe that'd be a mind control thing by Chris Jones. Just put him out just for the Calgary games.
You know it's going to be his head.
Yeah. As much as you're a quarterback and your mindset is, that's a receiver, I'm going to pick on him. With what happened last year and Duron Carter returning that interception for a touchdown, that will always be at the very front of Bo Levi Mitchell's head. That'll always be at the front of his mind. So maybe that just makes him double clutch just for that extra half second and Charleston Hughes goes and sacks him or Willie Jefferson or whatever, or he throws it long, throws it short, picked off. Mind control. Chris Jones, I'm telling you, that would be the time to play Duron Carter at defensive
just
back.
Just that. Don't do it all year and then throw him in for the Calgary game and just mess. Oh, I love it. So you're going, throw it a record. Where do you think Calgary finishes record and spot?
Record and spot. Spot third. Record 11-7. I want to say 10-8, but that's really only one game over 500 in the CFL. Like that's one game difference from being an average 9-19. And they're not that bad. They're not.
I think they will be.
I hope you're
right. I really do.
I hope you're right.
I don't know what it is, and I don't usually predict Calgary to free fall. I say I'd like to, but I always pick them higher up in the standings. I'm just trying to decide how far down. I think they cross over at 8-10.
Well, that'd be good because then we know that they're not going to get to the Grey Cup.
Or do they get there and win because they're coming from the East?
Well, no crossover team has ever made it to the Grey Cup, let alone win the Grey Cup. So history has shown that they're not going to do it.
Although, have a feeling.
It would be something, and this is just as a casual observer of the CFL, to see Calgary against Edmonton in the Grey Cup in Edmonton, a Battle of Alberta in Edmonton for the Grey Cup. That would be crazy. That would suck because one of those two teams would win.
But it'd be a hell of a party.
That would be something.
That might be the only thing that could rival a Ryder Grey Cup in Alberta for an actual party.
Oh, yeah.
It would be an all-Alberta throwdown.
But I would feel bad for everybody out east because they would literally stop caring about... Other than the absolute diehards, they would not care. They would be so bitter about not having an East team in there, I think, just the generally.
Yeah, outside of the diehards, they wouldn't be watching.
Nope. So that'd be best case scenario for in Edmonton, worst case scenario overall for the league, I think.
You know, I do have to bring something up, and just because you mentioned fans that don't care, I got to give a shout out to the BC Lions. I know there's a team preview, so we'll get right back on track, but it just popped into my head. Have you seen their ticket prices that they just rolled out this week?
You know how jealous I am of that?
Like, I'm looking at my seats, which are still only what, $350 for the season, which is a steal, if you ask me. I would be overpaying in BC based on where I am. Mm-hmm. They have $15 and $20 seats.
Yep.
Was those tickets you were telling me about in BC or Toronto?
No, that was Toronto. That was another fan that said he has tickets on the 10-yard line for $159. Yep.
What they need to do in both of those markets is just get people in the door. Because most people who come to a CFL game love it. They enjoy it. It's great fun to watch.
The argument about against doing that and basically papering the event is you devalue your product. You're saying, we're only worth $15. And if you go to a CFL game, you know that they're worth way more than that.
That part's true.
Which, don't, as a consumer, I would rather have $15 tickets.
Yeah, but if there's nobody coming in the door, are you even worth $15?
That's a good point. You're only really...
Nobody's going to buy the $15 ticket, but they'll go for free.
You're only worth what people are willing to pay.
And we've seen what they're willing to pay in Toronto and BC.
They should charge $70,000 for tickets in Winnipeg. Just for fun.
Only if you sign for your season tickets.
Yep. Four of them.
Oh, boy.
That'd be for your backup seats, maybe.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so we have to get to the Toronto Argonauts here. And we see normally with teams that win the Grey Cup, there's a lot of big losses. Honestly, not a lot. Rico Murray, Cody Fajardo, backup quarterback. You can take that for what it is. Darryl Waad, basically a Canadian defensive lineman, not a superstar, but still a good player. And I think their biggest loss is defensive back Mitchell White.
I do got to give him a shout out for signing the guy that everybody hoped would sign in Regina, or at least everybody in Saskatchewan did.
Taylor Reed.
Noah Pickton.
Yeah, just the other day they signed quarterback Noah Pickton, who we were all hoping would get drafted, and ended up not. Kind of just disappointing for him, but. I think if he was 2 inches taller, he would have at least got drafted in a later round.
Oh, 100% he would have.
But he's only 5'9".
Yeah, we've seen, throughout his career here in Regina, all that guy needs is a chance, and he's got a chance to learn behind the greatest to do it in our generation.
Ricky Ray,
for sure.
Anthony Calvillo, and then he's got
James Franklin,
but then also the quarterback whisperer himself.
Right? Mark Trestman.
Like, that's... If there's anywhere that you want to be, that's the place to be as a quarterback right now.
If you're going to get anything out of a guy, it's going to be those guys. So if he can show anything.
And I heard an interview that he did just before the draft. And the question posed to him was be like, well, because of your size, do you feel that like people will overlook you and just, not have that confidence in you? And he said, I don't need 9 teams to give me a shot. I need one. And he's a very well-spoken kid. Like, he knows what he's up against. And obviously the height comparisons are going to compare him to Doug Flutie, which isn't fair. Unfortunately, that's what it is for a 5'9" quarterback. But he's a very good quarterback. And I'm looking forward to Toronto's preseason games just to see if they do get him in there and how he does show against CFL caliber talent.
Yeah, it's definitely a big jump going from U Sports to the CFL, and I have a feeling he'll do all right. In that he'll probably get that third, fourth quarter type mop up.
Probably
situation, yeah. Without a doubt. But
just the last drive kind of thing. But
I have a feeling he'll get a look, and we'll see very quickly why he was talked about, even though he was 5'9". Being that small, if you're not good enough. Or if you're getting mentioned still, even though you're nowhere near what you need to be for the prototypical quarterback,
mm-hmm.
You got to have something there. So I'm excited. That's the most exciting signing for Toronto for me is Pickton. Not necessarily because I expect long CFL career. Who knows? Just I want to see what
he
can do.
It's the most intriguing one. It absolutely. Is. I also like that they picked up Greg Morris. I don't like it as a Rider fan because I really like Greg Morris. And if you caught our interview with him last year, it's on piffles.podcast.com. Just go to the interview section. He's a really, really fun guy to talk to. And I was really hoping, especially after the team went out and got Jerome Messam, Greg Morris was still a free agent at the time. It's like, go out and get him. Like, make sure you re-sign him. And then, there's your backup. But doesn't look like they wanted to go that route. Maybe he got a better deal going out to Toronto, got better money offer.
That's home for him, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, he's from out there. So
it's one of those things. It's really hard to get mad at a guy for signing
Zach Evans,
right? Like we see it time and time again. Brendan Labatt.
Yep.
He's been here how long now? Right. Yeah, I feel like we're gonna miss that one. Not just off on the field, but off it as well. He was a really fun interview.
He was a spark plug.
Yeah.
But I think we have Christian Jones who can kind of fill that role a little bit as well. And Christian Jones won us a couple games last year and kept us in games as well too. So it's not that they let Greg Morris go because it was a lack of talent. It was just that there's so much talent here that you do have to pick and choose who you want to keep around. And
it's the Canadian free agent or the import who you've signed probably to a minimum deal for. No, that's not a tough choice as much as it hurts, but
yeah,
I expect some good times out of him in Toronto.
And Toronto's going to be another good team this year. You have one of the top, three quarterbacks of all time as your starting quarterback?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Right?
And the up-and-comer as his backup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to be a good team, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them come out of the East again this year. I think it's a two-horse race out there, and it's between them and the Ticats.
Yeah, and I think they've got the head start. They've got the better team out of the gate, and they didn't really change much.
Nope.
For, like you said, for a Grey Cup team, they're likely fielding a very similar team going into 2018, and they were just hitting their stride. And having James Wilder Jr. back for
the full
another
year,
2 years?
They did lose Victor Butler. He did retire. But Toronto very rarely has issues finding defensive ends. They seem to get those just as Calgary gets receivers.
If not, Sean Lemon will talk enough for both ends.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, that's going to do it for us this week on the Piffles Podcast. This is our last show before training camp begins. So that means our next show, we'll have training camp news to talk about. We're going to find out. We won't be there, unfortunately, in Saskatoon for training camp, but we're going to try and find out who was looking good, who didn't look good. And I wrote this in my Tuesday takes. While I do appreciate training camp reports, because people are going out there and taking their time, and we do that with practice as well, too. I do appreciate you going out there and coming back with information, you know, firsthand, saying this guy looked good, that guy looked good. But generally, I see offense looked great, defense looked great, this whole team looks great. Well, if the offense is performing so great, the defense really isn't. Right? You can't have one without the other.
Either the defense is stopping him or the offense is moving the ball.
Yeah. Like you can
Sunshine
still, the defense can still be playing great man coverage and just that offense made just that better play. Absolutely. That happens all the time.
But not overall.
But keep those practice reports coming. I love reading those. I love seeing it. And especially with this year when there's so few spots available on this roster, it'll be really interesting to see who does step up and really push those vets. Because I think there's going to be a couple surprise cuts this year.
There has to be with how much salary we've taken on free agency.
Yeah.
We're gonna start to find out who those cuts are. I think next episode we might have to actually make some
Did
bold
you say
predictions.
It was gonna be Rob
Bag? I sure as hell didn't.
Who did you?
I brought it up.
Oh.
I didn't say for sure that they'd cut him. I asked and I posed a question to the group. Do you think this is the year that Rob Bag gets cut? And honestly, that'll
and
probably come
no
up again
friends.
Next week. Well, I didn't have any friends before, so I'm not below where I was. So
Anyway,
we're going to talk about that next week. The latest Rider news in the opening kickoff and a whole bunch more. We're going to continue our team previews. Until then, make sure you check out piffelspodcast.com where you can find out the latest Rider and other CFL content. Give us a follow on Twitter. At Piffles Pod, you can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at Safamud.
And I am at RealAmyD.
Give Greg a follow as well at GregOnSports. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. Just search Piffles Pod. Go to the website. Check out the Piffles Podcast fan pod. Check out the Piffles Podcast fan contest this year. Enter in. Tell us all about your Rider pride and be entered to win up to over $2,500 in prizes. We're giving away a boatload of prizes this year, so make sure you enter that. Tell us about your Rider Pride. We're going to start picking winners pretty soon, because within a month we're going to be talking to these people on the show and learn more about what makes Rider Nation tick.
I'm really excited to hear what, you know, I know why I'm a fan. I want to know why everybody else is. I'm really excited for that segment.
There's a lot of different reasons why people are fans. A lot of, like, our generation, Don Narcisse and Bobby Jurison, two of the most recent guests on the Piffles podcast. Like, they're a big reason why we're Rider fans. But there's people older than us from a different generation. People younger than us that only got into it because of Weston Dressler and Darian Durant and you know, Rob Bagg.
I smiled a little bit today. I saw somebody had their Mount Rushmore was Weston Dressler, John Chick, Rob Bagg, and Darian Durant. And I'm going, post 07 Grey Cup.
Yeah. You can tell how old that person
nothing
is.
Nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely not.
Just made
no,
me smile
not.
A little bit because you can see just where somebody became a fan based on their personal, you know, Mount Rushmore.
Oh, totally.
You know, our generation will have a couple of 89 guys, a couple of current guys.
Yeah.
It's just, it made me smile a little bit.
So make sure you go to piffles podcast.com, check out the fan contest there, sign, enter in right away on that. And also while you're there, don't forget that we still have a couple tickets left, and literally just a couple tickets left for our Piffles Podcast Banjo Bowl bus. And go to the Banjo Bowl, and I know this Darian Durant jersey that I'm wearing right now, that's coming with me. I might throw a little 70K on it somewhere as well, just to throw a little more. We should take some salt so we can rub some salt in their wounds.
Oh, I guarantee you I'm going to have a sign.
That's going to be a blast.
I got 70,000 reasons why the Riders are winning this game.
And that's going to be a lot of fun. So a couple spots left. If you want in on that, get to us right away, because these tickets are going to go right away. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Dairy Queen on Elphinstone Street and Sass Drive. And of course, a special thank you to Kathy Festian of Royal LePage Regina Realty. And check out her Facebook page, Kathy Festian Royal LePage. Tallgrass Apparel, Cypress Hills Destination Area, and Coney Island Poutine Cafe for all their support that helps make this show possible. And thank you so much, Rider fans, for listening. Without you, the show wouldn't exist either. So keep on listening, keep on interacting, and let's have some fun. The season's starting in 4 days. Training camp is the official kickoff to the season. I don't care. A lot of people don't care about preseason and training camp, but that's the start of the season. We are here, guys. We made it. The offseason is over.
Again, Steve is vibrating.
I can't stop dancing. I love that we're Darian Durant days away.
Just kind of the theme of the show, hey?
Right?
Thanks for listening. This has been the Piffles Podcast. We're going to leave you with some more Beauty Killed the Beast. Check them out on Facebook, Beauty Killed the Beast. This is their song, Hometown. Tear it